Well, good morning, TNC family, on this second Sunday in November, where today here, I want to talk with you from the scriptures about your problems, or at least what you perceive to be your problems. And we all have some, a problem with who won the election, maybe, or a problem with what that other person said or did, or a problem rooted in your own life change, uncertainty, confusion, disappointment, bad health, bad job, conflict, financial loss, relational loneliness. We all have some problems, and here's the truth about your problems. They're not going away. They may change. You may swap out one problem for another as the seasons of life move along, but there will never come a time when you have no problems, when you just wake up one day and you're like, all my problems, they're gone. Never gonna happen. Yes, your problems will change, but having problems, that reality is going nowhere. Dealing with problems is just the cost of doing business as a human. It's not a personal curse on you. It's simply a permanent aspect of the human condition. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus said that, John chapter 16. I was thinking about like the apps on your phone and how if there was an app called Life, which reflected your real life, problems would be a feature of that app, not a bug to be fixed with an update. Because we all have problems, which are, turns out, not just problems, but also indications of a change or changes that need to be made. That's why you're having a problem. Something isn't working and needs to start working. Something needs to start. Something needs to change, which means if you actually face your problem and take responsibility for it, you are going to be on the edge of something new. And I wonder, when you think about that, the change that you are on the edge of, do you have the faith and the perspective that you're headed for not only a better situation, but also a greater version of yourself? But the challenge that you're facing is actually a gift to your future self. Doesn't mean you want to face these challenges, doesn't mean you want to be in this difficulty, but imagine coming to the understanding that this problem, and have you identified it in your mind right now? Put a name to it. That this challenge that you're going through is a gift to your future self. That it is something that in the future you will look back on with gratitude and joy. That you overcame. That you conquered a part of yourself. You conquered a challenge that may have crushed you in a different era. But not this time. That was a past version of you because now you're stronger and more equipped for not only your new season of opportunity, but also the inevitable next problem. Because they're not going to go away. They're going to keep coming. You're not going to have a perfectly smooth ocean to sail in where nothing gets in your way. And it might even be boring if you did. All of which leads to this. Good management of bad situations can lead to great growth. Good management of bad situations. And what might that look like? Well, I want to give you now three strategies rooted in the scriptures for good management of bad situations. And here's number one. Number one, say thank you. Like write a thank you note to your problems. Dear problems, thank you. President Kennedy was asked once how he became a war hero, and his witty response was, "It was easy. Somebody sank my boat." Now, at the time his boat was sinking, he didn't feel like giving thanks, but later he came to see that in some way it was a gift to his future self. And that is our task, to realize that someday this problem will turn out to be a gift. It's actually why James, the brother of Jesus, writes in his letter in the New Testament, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." It's about seeing the gift in the struggle. This is something the Apostle Paul also identifies in his letter to the church at Rome, chapter 5. We give thanks in our sufferings, he writes, because we know that this suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. I don't like the struggle, Paul says, but dear problems, thank you for the gift, because now I'm a person with greater perseverance, character, and hope. And here's another gift. Struggle and even suffering can draw you closer to a community of friends and give you the gift of sharedness. Because suffering, it will shatter the illusion that you can do it alone, that you can be self-sufficient. It will bring you into a community where you see that you are not alone, that you're cared for and loved and celebrated and worthy of encouragement. As a pastor, I've seen this over and over, that it's often struggle that brings people into spiritual community and into a sense that they are part of a larger family. Here's another gift of struggle. Struggles can move you to generosity. Henry Nouwen called this the wounded healer. It's the reality that in the area of your wounds, you are now able to help others with similar wounds. Wounds are windows into how you can extend love and grace and wisdom and empathy to others. So yes, it is possible to sit down and write a thank you note. Dear problems, thank you. Because there is value in your bad experiences, in your current problems. And that's the first strategy rooted in the scriptures for good management of bad situations. Say, dear problems, thank you. Which leads to our second strategy for good management of bad situations. Number two, ask yourself, is my current problem the situation that I'm in or my spirit in the situation? Because sometimes it will be the situation itself, something external to you that you are inside. The job is the problem. The environment is the problem. That person, that policy, that structure around me is the problem. But other times, it's my own spirit within the structure. In other words, the structure is not the problem, it's my spirit. Now, it's normal in a season of suffering to try to get out of it as fast as possible, or at least to numb the symptoms. For some folks to have a few too many drinks, listen to a few too many sad tunes, binge a few more shows. But the right thing to do when you're in the moment of suffering is to get brave in that suffering and to make an honest assessment of yourself. Ask, is the change that needs to happen now because of this problem external to me, or is it internal? Said another way, is the problem the car or the driver? Is the problem the credit card or the spender? Is the problem my job or my perspective? Like two people could be sitting at desks in the same office doing the exact same job and one is happy to be there. I can't believe they're paying me to do this, they think. But the second person doing the exact same job is bored. I can't take this much longer, they think. See, same external structure, same job description, different internal spirit. And what you have to determine is this problem, this restlessness I feel, due to the external structure or the internal me? Because truly, it might be either. Like I remember years ago now, running into an old college buddy. We were great friends in college. We played tennis together. We stayed up late talking about ideas and dreams and hopes together. But then I ran into him years later, and like 9 minutes into the conversation, it was clear, oh my, we don't have anything left to talk about. Because that friendship at that time in college was fantastic. But now things have changed. And that school at that time was fantastic. But now I graduated, and that job description at that time was great. But my spirit is ready for a new challenge. And that routine at that time, it served me well. But my spirit now is calling me to deeper routines and practices. And that spiritual idea or theology at that time in that place, it challenged and inspired me. But now my spirit is being awakened to new realities about God. Sometimes you're living within a structure, but your spirit is calling you to move forward, and you need to leave the old structure. But sometimes the problem is not the structure, it's your spirit. Sometimes you need a new spirit in the same structure. I mean, it's not a good strategy to just go around quitting stuff and blaming others instead of facing the fact that the problem isn't the form, it's your spirit. And you need a reanimated spirit, a new strategy within the same structure, a new idea in the same situation. Because if you don't deal with the spirit, you'll take your same unhealthy spirit into your next structure. Like if you have a spirit of entitlement, that spirit will literally corrode whatever structure it comes into contact with. And if you have a spirit of greed, if you pursue something for money only, you can change the structure because it's not giving you enough money. But that spirit of, I want more, will damage the new structure you come into. I think you get the idea. So here's the evaluative question. Is your restlessness due to the structure, the exterior, or due to your spirit? And how would you know which one it is? Is it a structure problem or a spirit problem? Well, a couple quick suggestions. Number one, ask some folks who are wise and who know you. Beg them to be honest with you. Number two, almost always, it's wise, if you're not sure, to address your spirit before addressing the structure. Doubling down before ditching, because then you're going to learn, and then you eliminate a potential future problem. But there will come some situations that when God gives you a new spirit inside of you, it simply demands a new structure, a new form. A new wine requires new wineskin, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 9. In Jesus' day, new wine, just after the grapes were crushed and poured into a vat, they would undergo a first phase of fermentation in which yeast cells feast on the sugars, breaking them down in a process called glycolysis, producing alcohol, carbon dioxide, and energy, and therefore it was crucial for it to be stored in new, flexible wineskins that could expand and stay sealed as the fermentation process progressed. And what was Jesus' point? That no matter what you do to polish, repair, and energize old wineskin, you simply cannot pour your new wine into an old wineskin or it will burst. So, TNC, you've got to figure this out. Do I need a new spirit or do I need a new situation? Do I need a better wine or do I need a better wineskin? Okay, first strategy, say, dear problems, thank you for the opportunity ahead. Second strategy, figure out if it's internal or an external problem. And now a third strategy for good management of bad situations. Number three, amid your problems, find the good. During this whole process of addressing your problems, still enjoy the ride. Begin enjoying life right now because it is only ever going to be right now. You cannot continue to push joy and gratitude down the road when, then, because life is never going to happen in the future. It is always happening right now, and this is something that we must remind ourselves of on a minute-by-minute basis. It's actually the exact reminder of the author of the Bible book of Ecclesiastes. We did a whole series walking through this book last August, and among what the author says is, look, human beings are a vapor, a blip in time in relation to the earth's past and future. We're all going to die, and no one is getting out of this game alive, literally. What's more, kind of depressing, but it's what he says. What's more, in 3 or 4 generations, very few, if anyone, will even remember your name. So, stop taking things so seriously and thinking you have to get everything just right. That when, then. Instead, the author says, learn that this is the day that the Lord has made. And so I can be glad and rejoice in it, even during my problems. How? Engage in moments of prayer and connection with the divine. And in moments of curiosity, when I, amid the problem, still read a new book, try a new hobby, volunteer at the church. When in moments of generosity, even amid my problem, I'll help somebody else alleviate theirs. In pursuing wisdom, prizing honesty, and learning to accept what I can't control, even amid my problems. Find meaning and joy in this life amid your problem because problems aren't going away. I love how Paul reminds us of this, that no matter the time or the day, no matter who's president or vice president, no matter if you're in a season of peace or pain, you have the possibility to lean into something else and someone else who will never leave you and who will never forsake you. and that's the presence and the person of God. Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Paul says, ups and downs are inevitable. Problems aren't going away, but there is a steady source amid the problems, and it is the universal Christ. Christ is eternal, therefore your problems are not permanent. And Christ is everywhere, therefore your problems are limited. And God is for you, so who can stand against you? And God is in you, therefore you're never alone. And he has given us the church, this body, TNC, and we're going to walk together in eras of new wineskin and in eras of new wine. For we can do all things and all seasons through the one who gives us strength. Dear problems, thank you. Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening. I pray that when they think about their problem, the change that they may be on the edge of, that they would find a deep faith and the perspective that they are headed for not only a better situation, but also a greater and more mature self. God, will you give us courage and determination? Will you help us see the light when situations feel dark? Give us optimism and faith, kindness and truth, and peace. And now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.